My Eagle enthusiasts, it's Fairway Rollin' presented by FanDuel. Major season is here, and you can get in on all the long drives, big putts, and major moments with FanDuel. Check out live PGA Tour bets like longest drive, round leaders, matchups, birdie or better, and more. Plus, track every shot in the app and watch select par three holes while you place your bets. Download the app today and bet with FanDuel, the official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 years old or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
On today's Shack House, it's all things the Players' Championship, the final Players' Championship in May. We will pull at your heartstrings and make you so sad that it is moving back to March. Or not. I don't know. But of course, House, today we are brought to you, as always, by our friends at Callaway, who on May 18th are going to roll out the Odyssey EXO putters. That's EXO when you see them in print, but they're EXO. House, you were drooling. We are in a car together.
Yeah, ba.
Very, very high-tech studio here in Pontevedra Beach. We're in person together, and you were looking over my shoulder at the EXO putters, and I know you were not drooling at the Rossi, but in fact, the 7S.
The 7S was catching my eye, Shaq. That EXO can't come out soon enough. May 18th is just a week after my birthday. Hint, hint.
Yeah. Well, don't go to CallawayGolf.com. Go to OdysseyGolf.com to go look at these, because they are really cool. The industrial design, there is a design aesthetic to these that is very different. And if you're into industrial design, sparse, kind of simple lines with the usual white hot face, you're going to love these. So go to odysseygolf.com.
I just love the way the alignment sets up. I'm rushing over there, odysseygolf.com. I'm hot on your heels. Shaq, speaking of hot on your heels, SeatGeek, it's time for tickets. Not for your baseball team or my baseball team, but there's probably some great concerts to be had. SeatGeek is the best app for buying and selling tickets to sporting events, concerts, and more. For $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase on any game or sporting event, all you have to do is use promo code HOUSE. That's promo code H-O-U-S-E. Download the SeatGeek app or go right to SeatGeek.com.
All right, House, we are here in Pontevedra Beach. And this is Shack House, part of the Ringer Podcast Network, which, of course, is also home to your wonderful House of Carbs, which I listened to on the flight down, and I learned a lot about bourbon. I was very intrigued by all of the techniques that gentleman employs.
I will tell you, Shack, I enjoyed having that conversation with Trey Zeller, Jefferson's Bourbon. I learned a lot about bourbon in general, but most specifically, the grand voyage that he took, the Jefferson's journey on, it left me, it was a breathtaking tale. I mean, I couldn't believe it was a funny, I don't want to steal the punchline, but this is probably the most expensive bourbon ever made in the history of bourbon making. Also, don't forget, Shaq, the NBA playoffs are going on right now. Ringer.com has you covered in all things NBA playoffs.
But who is thinking about the NBA playoffs when the Players' Championship is upon us, House? We are here. It has been played for 45 years. This will be the 45th playing, that is. And, House, it is moving back to March. And you're going to hear a lot about that this week. But I'm very excited. We are in person together. We're over on the Valley Course. We've just been shooting some things with our friends at Callaway. We played a hole pitifully. You put a little bit of a nice mark on my rogue on the face. You didn't do
on
any damage to it. I was very pleased with that. That's where you're supposed to strike that rogue. It's a beautiful day. It's supposed to be a beautiful week. There is something at the end of the week that might be a little bit iffy, but that's a long way off, so we're not going to worry about that. This is an event now that actually is building some history, but it also gives us a little bit of a headache when trying to figure out who might play well here. Of course, the TPC Sawgrass has hosted since 1982, 37 years ago. That Jerry Pate jumped into the lake, and Pete Dye's design was unleashed on the world. And we were having an interesting chat before the show. You played here. You had a great time. But you did feel like there was a little something missing in the golf course. What was that? What do you think that was?
Well, there's two things about it. And the observation I was making is I've played it one time and I'd like to play it again when I'm driving the ball a little bit better.
Well,
I played it in March, speaking of March, and, you know, as an East Coaster, my game was not in mid-season form, let's just say. But, the premium on driving the ball in the fairway here, there's nowhere to miss left or right. So it's not a forgiving kind of a venue. But the other thing that you know, just left it a little bit lacking in my experience. I'm glad that I played it. I'm glad I tried it. But the weird drainage stuff, the man-made swales all over the course, I understand that design concept, but they produce this effect. And we experienced it ourselves on the hole that we played. 10 feet in front of the hole, basically in the center of the green, is a drainage.
A
catch basin. And it took out the possibility of playing a low shot in, which is what I was trying to do, and have it release out. It hit that the basin, the face of that basin, and basically got stuck.
Well, this is the thing with Pete Dye. He went to Scotland. He was inspired by the courses there, and then he added his own twists. He was kind of like your bourbon guy. He was inspired by a lot of different things, like all the great artists or craftsmen are. And he was inspired by a couple of architects, Langford and Moreau, who did a lot of beautiful work up in the Wisconsin area. So he kind of melded the Link-style look. But the one thing that Pete's always done and is kind of create drainage right down the middle and not create sort of natural swales to take the water to a lake if there's a major rain. And it's a philosophic difference between his thinking and Tom Fazio's of the world versus sort of the minimalists, because we like to see things seem natural, and those things take you out of that natural element. So it's definitely, to me, it's a design defect, because I think you can create all the cool movement, but actually drain the course properly.
The interesting thing,
it's very wonky stuff, but it's one of those things. It's important because it takes you out of the walk in the park element.
And this is the thing about it in terms of what we like to do here on this show, which is try and anticipate, you know, who's in form, try and give out a couple winners, who would we expect to see as a winner. And this place makes it nearly impossible to forecast any particular result, because you get guys, it's either the very, very heights of glory or it's a missed cut.
And that's not the catch basin's fault.
Well,
that is, but I think we have a theory on that. We kicked around, at least my theory, my working theory. I don't know about yours, but it's that there are very few driver holes left here on the TPC Sawgrass because they have been very adamant about not adding excessive amounts of length. And I think when you take driver out of the player's hands, it prevents those really top players, somebody like Jason Day winning last week, even though he's won here. It makes it hard for them to separate themselves. And so you really have a golf course that rewards somebody who gets kind of hot and a little bit lucky sometimes. And it's an odd mix. It's definitely an odd mix. And I just wish there were a few more driver holes. I think that would really help the whole feel of the course and make players like it more.
Well, you mentioned Jason Day. Let's go ahead and get out of the way.
Are you just going to dig right into the prognostications?
No, I'm going to pat him on the back for last week at Quail Hollow.
Okay.
And also, you know, talk to you a little bit about, I'm wondering sort of what your thoughts are on this theme that seems to be developing to my eyes. I was happy to see Jason Day on another difficult venue, really just sort of grind out a victory. That's two grind them out victories for Jason Day this season. And the narrative that I'm sort of touching on here, Shaq, that's caught my eye is the resurgence of these guys. Now, Jason Day's 30. He's not in his mid-30s. He doesn't he's not as old as Bubba.
Right.
He's not as old as Phil. He's not as old as Tiger. But he's also not a 20-something. He's in between that group of guys in their 24 to 27 range and the mid-30s guys. But Jay Day, with two wins this season at two tough, I was going to say tough ass. I'm allowed. We have an E label. Tough ass venues.
That credit long ago.
I mean, Tory and Quayle, and the way Quayle was set up, it was made for, and I don't know if you caught much of it. I was traveling, so I caught a little bit of it. It made for, I'm sorry to say this, a disastrously boring Sunday. The scores were between +2 and -2 of anybody that mattered.
I watched the rebroadcast last night, and it knocked me out. I was on Pacific time, and it just put me right out
here
in Florida.
It was a beautiful somnambulant.
Yeah, it was.
You don't get that every day.
It was. I mean, there were a few moments, and obviously the way that 17th hole was playing and the way the ball released in the case of his shot, that was pretty cool.
Very dramatic.
Some of those monster drives were thrilling.
Aaron Wise, our pal, rookie on tour this year, hit a beast of a drive on 16.
Yeah, so did Jason. Yeah, both of them. 383 for Aaron Wise.
That's
insane. It was about 60 yards a roll, but that still means he carried it 320.
He's long there. He's long there, Aaron Wise. He's long the Wise.
But your point is that we are seeing those veterans in their prime excelling, and kind of something we thought and anticipated, that while everybody was looking at Tiger and Phil and the young guys, that that era of player in their late 20s to early 30s would actually kind of sneak by and play well, and it's happening.
Yeah, and I'm excited by it.
It's good.
It doesn't give me any clear sense of what to do this week, and I feel like I'm not alone in this respect. And we're not jumping all the way to picks yet.
No.
But anytime you go online and look at odds and see five guys at the top all tied at 14-1, you know that Vegas is just throwing up their hands.
Well, this is the history here, and it I think it has a lot to do with the golf course, and it has a lot to do with the inability of anybody to really stand out and say they love this place and dominate. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because, you know, it isn't all about your gambling.
This is one that I lay off because you just can't get a feel for it.
That may be the angle, too.
I mean, you might put a little taste on a couple things just to have a reason to watch on Sunday. Yeah. Other than, it is fun. You know, the thing, to be fair to this place, it always produces, this is going to sound really ridiculous, but you'll indulge me. It produces
a
true champion. And by, you know what I'm saying by that is the guy that wins... and again, this is going to be so self-evident sounding, is somebody that has gotten hot and then is able to maintain that all the way through 18. And there are plenty of places on 16 and 17 and 18 to jump up and derail, which we like very much.
We do. And it is an amazing finishing stretch and made better, I think, by being the playoff holes if they go to an aggregate playoff. Let's step back, though, a little bit and just talk about the tournament itself. It's a tournament that is the best title to win outside of the four majors, I believe, because the perks alone are incredible.
I think the players believe it, too, because the paycheck, speaking of perks.
The paycheck is significant.
It's healthy.
The bonuses, the exemption, the overall way they treat you here is second to none. They take a lot of their cues, obviously, from Augusta. And I think the criticism I would have is they sometimes take too many cues from too many places, and instead of just kind of relying on the fact that they're just what they are, it's the players, it's a great event, and be comfortable with that. And they've done that more in recent years. That said, there's been a little bit of an identity crisis since this move to May. I love the move to May. I thought it strengthened this tour schedule, and the golf course has, for the most part, played really well. With the Bermuda grass has been excellent. There were a couple years the greens didn't look great. They putted well. There was one year where they lost control of the golf course a little bit. They had kind of an odd weather forecast, and that was unfortunate. But otherwise, it's been a success. But I've only covered it house in May. I never came to a Players in March. This is year 12 in the May date, and it's the final one. So next year it'll move to about 3 weeks before the Masters. The PGA Championship will be probably, we don't know. We were going to get the schedule this year, this week, but they've delayed that.
Okay.
It will probably be the weekend of the Preakness, which would be not next weekend, but the following. So basically a little later than the Players are getting away from Mother's Day, which hasn't been great,
yep.
I'll be honest.
Sure.
The pink out is nice on Sunday, but yep. You can imagine there are a lot of moms who would rather be doing something besides watching
having to indulge
the fine golfers of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it will benefit greatly going back to March because everybody who covered it said the energy was just different. The energy is actually, it's a younger audience, younger crowd here in May because a lot of the snowbirds have moved back north. But they just say in March, there's something about it, the combination of the different winds, the diversity of the crowd, the energy is, and that pre-Masters tension is there. And then I have a very strong view that the TPC of Sawgrass has slipped a little in people's minds because it's now not an overseeded with ryegrass golf course.
What's that mean?
Well, you know, cool season grass in the desert and a lot of Florida courses will overseed to get that lush, deep green and better playing conditions in the wintertime.
Yeah.
The difference, though, is in high definition, Bermuda grass just looks very dull and gray. I mean, we're looking at a golf course here that's beautifully conditioned outside our Ford Flex window, the Ford Flex Studios, not brought to you by Ford. Yeah. And you see it just has kind of a – Bermuda grass has a grayness to it. And then over here we have a – this is a different grass.
Looks like a kuyu a little
it
bit.
It almost does. Yeah, it's a zoysia, and it's got a little deeper green. But so I think when they overseed the course, it will just pop more. The key, though, will be – do they overseed the roughs? The old Pete Dye original TPC was fairway to sandy scrub. And a lot of us have been begging them to go back to that.
I'd like that.
And it'll play firmer and faster if they overseed it. Now, with the new, all the stuff they've done under the hood on the golf course is amazing for drainage, except those catch basins aren't so hot. But
don't like them.
The water goes underneath, so they can get it firmer and faster. And in March, there's the Bermuda, no matter how good it is. And I mean, these superintendents are amazing what they do, how tight the turf is. It still just doesn't get that release and run. So March, I think, will be better in a lot of ways. But if they could get rid of rough and get back that look, I think it would be phenomenal. It's just hard. It's a hard look to pull off. And it's obviously there's a resort element here, too. The rest of the year.
Well, they can have the resort function. You can have all that come into existence coincident with resort season down here, right? Like, because I've been here the first week of March, and I will tell you right now, I played in long sleeves with a jacket and long pants and some form of headwear that was intended to keep my head warm through the round. Because, you know, it's easy to play down here and have it be in the 50s bumping up to 60. And those winds that you mentioned, the March winds, for sure, you know, that's a real thing.
Right.
Like those breezes, when it's only in the 50s, you know, it's a feels-like temperature that's starting to put you into the 40s. And I like very much the idea of that challenge and what that kind of represents. I think that weather variance is a nice kind of interruption to like the perfect. All we do is watch guys walk around in short sleeves all the time.
Yeah,
and until a lot of people, the Open Championship,
right? And a lot of people lament the Players having lost that, and some of them, of course, like it because they want the 17th hole to turn into a freak show, which I don't think is much fun. I happen to like what we've seen in May, which are some pretty spectacular shots on that hole. But as you know, there's kind of an element that likes to watch the Daytona 500 to see a car crash and as opposed to great skill and driving. And so that's just a philosophic thing. Let's get to some interesting news related to the tournament and Tiger Woods. But before we do that, I unveiled and whipped out my new Mac Daddy 4 wedges house.
You whipped them out?
Yeah, today.
Oh, no, Shaq.
And then I hit some shots, and I didn't expect a big leap, but they are way better. You have to check out what Roger Cleveland has done with those wedges. Do you have those?
I do. And you almost hit the pin to save par. I won't ruin it for everybody, but you'd have an opportunity to save par on the hole that we played, and it went right over the cup. It did, if it had hit the pin, I don't think it would have gone in because of the pace, but it was a very nice low. It did have that check and spin.
Oh, the grooves are ridiculous. Yeah, they're unbelievable. Yeah. Well, they're in stores now, so go check them out. The Mac Daddy 4s.
MD4.
Yeah, now I'm still on the fence. I still love my old kind of spatula 60 degree, so I've got to do some work on that before I make that leap. That's a really cool club, especially when you hit it out on the toe like I do.
Yeah, well, I also want to give a very quick shout out to our good pals at Zip Recruiter. Are you hiring, and do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? It's hard to find great talent. You need great talent for a successful podcast. We have great talent on our production team here at Ringer Podcast Studio, so I don't think that they need to do anything in that regard, but we could use a research assistant. We need to up the research budget for this thing, Shaq, because I'm sitting here going through my analytics to figure out who I'm going to pick. What about ZipRecruiter helping me with a data analyst? I could use a quant. You know what I'm saying?
A quant.
Ooh. Yeah. ZipRecruiter posts your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one quick, and then ZipRecruiter looks for the most qualified candidates, invites them to apply. They even review every single application to identify the top candidates, so you never miss a great match, and that is why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, they don't depend on the right candidates to find you. It finds them. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified candidates with immediate results. Listeners of the Shaq House can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free, F-R-E-E, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Shaq House. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Shaq House. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Shaq House.
All right, so the first two rounds will feature a pairing of Ricky Fowler, Tiger Woods, and Phil Mickelson. And some of you will be, by the time you're listening to this, it may have started. But House, I don't know who would be unhappy about this grouping. I was kind of hoping this would have happened on the West Coast swing since they're West Coast guys, and it just seemed like a natural. And it really is stunning how rare it is that these two get to play together. Whereas Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, another featured group that will be on the Golf Channel and PGA Tour Live featured coverage, I believe have played together 495 times in the last year. We're really riding the Spieth-Thomas thing a little too hard. I think they're even getting sick of these pairings. But Tiger, Phil, Ricky, I think is sensational.
I think it's sensational as well. I would like to make one small edit. It feels like Tiger and Phil are real genuine OGs from an era there in the late 90s to the early 2000s. And Phil, you know, throughout the 2000s, both of those guys obviously have tremendous success through the first decade of the 21st century. But I want another OG with them. And I'd like somebody kind of old school. Now, I don't know if he's in the field this week, because who knows what the hell's going on with his lawsuit with the PGA Tour. They might have just banned him from the premises, but I think it would be hilarious. I think it would be hilarious if Vijay Singh was the third to go with those two. Like, Ricky is a rock star. Ricky can have his own group. He could be a group of one and still have go 10 deep, and people would want to see him. It feels like it's now he's up to the challenge of being with Phil and Tiger, because that's going to be a party. 18 party holes out here at Sawgrass. Thank God it's the stadium course, right? Because, you know, it's going to be packed viewing every on the surrounds and every tee box. Ricky just adds to it. It feels like overkill. I want something like a little bit clever. I don't know. Again, I have no idea whether or not Vijay is allowed anywhere near here.
Quite the contrary.
Really?
Yeah, even though he's suing the tour, you know, we have a media center that's a permanent building right off the clubhouse, and it has a great little lunchroom that the rest of the year is for PGA Tour staff. It's very health food driven. And guess who comes and has lunch because he loves the prices there and the healthy food?
Well, Vijay Singh.
Pana Vidra's finest, Vijay Singh, who's also suing the PGA Tour. Oh, why not? I think it's a little bit weird that you would sue them and then come mooch off the employee.
That's not a mooch. Who doesn't like?
It's the employee rate. You
who
know,
doesn't like he won a FedEx healthy cup. Food? Who doesn't okay. like healthy food?
He can have his own chef. I would not have put Vijay. That is a, if you want to just have the ultimate buzzkill for that group. Now, Tiger can tolerate Vijay, I think. Phil, of course, I don't believe can stand him in any way.
That's old school. I like it. I want to see old school. Bring it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, an older guy would have been interesting. Like Stenson is a former players champion. Ricky was 12 years old the last time Tiger and Phil played together
yeah,
in this tournament.
I'm saying.
And they've only played together 11 times, or this is the 11th time they've been intentionally paired together.
What's
that's amazing.
What's Rory Sabatini's nickname? Is he the filthy Texan? What do they call him?
The
stick 'em up. He really has
And why are you nominating him?
Well, he's from that era. He's another one. Or Poulter.
Wow,
what about Poults? Poults
now,
thought he
Poulter
was
would have been interesting.
Poults thinks he's the one. He said he was one of the top five players in the world. He said that
yeah,
10 years ago.
And he almost won a Players. If he had won that
year.
Players, I think yes, that would have been a fine choice, and he would certainly liven things up. But or you know, there is the possibility that they just don't put anybody with them. They could have just gone out as a twosome.
Easily gone out as a twosome, no doubt.
Anyway, I think it's great. The tour,
it's going to be awesome,
did it and announced it. It's unlike them to announce it early like that and sort of overshadow a tournament at Quail Hollow, but they really didn't overshadow it. They just did it so that the media and television could ask them after their round, are you looking forward to it? And, well, it got a little excitement
just,
going for the week.
Let's look, I mean, Quail Hollow could have stood on its own. It didn't need to play in this in-between mode of are we going to be in a major kind of layout, or are we going to be in a regular tour stop kind of layout? It really felt like it was a little bit of a suspended redefinition in terms of what's they played it at a massive length.
And they shortened it last week. That's the scary part.
It beat the hell out of the guys.
Yeah,
and nobody really putted great. You know,
it's amazing. It's gone from one of their favorite courses to one that the players just kind of say, well, they treat us great. And they do.
They do.
And it's in great shape. And that. And when you hear those buzzwords, that's when you know they really don't like a lot
it's
of the changes.
Out of favor.
Johnny Harris is their favorite guy who kind of runs things there. He's the benevolent dictator of Quail Hollow.
Fine.
And a great humanitarian and all that. But he's over tinkered with the course, and it's lost some of that the soul that it had. I think when they went back there, you know, the tour had been there a long time ago and they came back, and it's just, that's what happens when you over tinker, I think. And but that said, it's still very good. It's still better than most of the courses they play on the tour, and a great championship, although there are questions whether it will continue there, because he really has aspirations to hold major championships, and they have a President's Cup coming, and so we'll deal with that later when that happens. All right, so Players Championship. What else do you want to cover? Do you want some tidbits to think about for handicapping?
Yes, let's start. Let's give out a couple ideas here.
Well, here's one for you. Don't bet the Florida angle. You know, there's that sort of view that West Coast guys love West Coast courses and Florida guys love Florida courses. And I subscribe to that, as you know. I just think that's a grass thing.
Yeah, sure.
Here,
the way that kids were raised.
Yeah, only 7 of the last 22 Players Championship champions have had a Florida residence at the time of their victory.
That's 1 in 3. That's not a good number.
So, yeah, Duval, Tiger was 2 of them. Fred Funk, Sergio Garcia at the time, Stenson.
Yeah,
and
Funk's
then,
not from Florida.
Fowler.
Funk's from
no,
my
but he
hometown.
Had a residence here.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And, played,
I get
it. And he still played a lot of golf here.
Yeah, for sure.
It was kind of a home course thing. So we don't have a lot of two-time winners at the TPC Sawgrass. Just couples, Elkington, Sutton, Davis Love, and Tiger.
Yeah.
So that's select company. And then, you know, we've had some great winners the last in the May editions, with Phil winning the first in 07, Sergio, Stenson, Fowler, Day. So those are all guys who like this
superb
time of year.
Superb.
Yeah, it's a nice group.
Great pedigree among that group.
Yeah. So that's about all I got in the way of those kinds of oddities.
I got a couple things for you.
Okay.
How about this best cumulative? This is from our pal, our new go-to, Justin Ray, senior researcher at the Golf Channel. Well, I haven't heard you pimping JR on here too much. I mean, I know, I'm just saying.
He's the best stat follower on Twitter.
This is best cumulative score to par. As we try and think about guys with a little bit of track record here, not that that necessarily matters, but if you're making it a nice make the cut parlay, this would be some guys to mention. We got four guys over the last 5 years. The best cumulative score to par: Rory McIlroy is 29 under, Sergio Garcia 27 under, Adam Scott, 22 under. Frankie Molinari, very quiet, 21 under. Now, I was surprised when I saw this about Rory, because I don't have, when I think about this tournament, he doesn't come to mind as a guy that just comes in here and kills it the way that I can picture Sergio here, kind of year after year, all on the leaderboard or on the top five or coming in on Sunday with something, low and doing something, pretty interesting. And here's the reason for Rory to be on that list. He was tied 35 last year, tied 12 in 2016, and then tied eight in the previous years. So that's sustained competence, but not sustained excellence, I would say.
Well, and that's sort of the track record, what we see here pretty consistently with several people.
Yes.
I think the bigger issue with him is what kind of mood, for lack of a better word, is he in? He admitted to having a post-Masters depression, that the wife basically had to kick him out of the house to go practice. And I thought that was really a powerful admission. And one that, I love to hear that, because you have to think all the time that he's put into his career and getting ready for the Masters, and to come that close and not get it done on Sunday has to be devastating, because he knows how few chances there really are. I know everybody likes to think, oh, it's a game you play a long time. But really, when you step back and you've done this long enough, certain guys realize, holy cow, the window is really not that big. And so it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back. Same with Ricky, too, because he was devastated Sunday night at Augusta. But I viewed that as a positive, that he wasn't just writing this off as the usual. He made some amazing admissions about that it really was the first time he felt like he deserved to win a major and be there and had the entire package to win. So I've looked for him to take a big leap from the Masters. Rory, I'm just wondering about those comments. Were fascinating. I think it may take him a little while longer to recover.
Well, I was of the same mind as you in terms of those comments and how revealing. And to Rory's credit, I kill him on this podcast with some regularity, because I just have such high hopes and expectations of his talent. And every time we see a performance like what he did at Bay Hill, where he just basically comes in and sets the whole place ablaze. He just lights it on fire with the putter especially. It just creates, exactly, it spoils us. And it reminds us what he's capable of. So I very much liked that self-reflection, that introspection.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it so much last week.
He's one of the best at that, yeah.
I liked it so much last week. He was my one and done pick for this Quail Hollow thing. Now, it didn't work out. He did go out and shoot on Thursday a 68, which was like, hey, okay, this is my guy.
Yeah.
Familiarity of the place and, the walking around and recalling. I was hoping for some of those, that memory trigger, just sort of like, hey, all right, I feel good. I feel comfortable. This is a place where I've, owned the joint a little bit, and nobody's kind of up to my level. It didn't carry through all the way through. But that mindset, that, and a little bit of, good form, I don't know what to do about this week.
I would sit that one out and watch, see what he does. I think he's in a recovery phase with an eye really on Carnoustie.
Not Shinnecock.
Obviously, Shinnecock is certainly important to him, but I think, I don't know. I just think it's going to take him a little longer to recover from that after those comments. But he's one of those people who also lays it all out there, and he maybe does that to, well, no, I really believe it's genuine. I really do. And I think that's why he's one of the few golfers that transcends the sport that people outside of golf find him appealing. Because so, they listen to him interviewed and they hear somebody who speaks his mind and is not afraid to issue an opinion on things that other guys flee from.
Well, we've gone about 34 minutes into this
but
recording.
You're not counting.
And we haven't. We've mentioned his name in a couple of different contexts, but we didn't talk about the man's game at all. What about the status of one Eldrick Tiger Woods?
Yeah.
Now, wow. That was an interesting performance last week.
Yeah, yeah.
It is this recurring phenomena of one aspect of the game abandoning him.
Yep.
And this was by far his worst putting outing of the season, which is weird because he's been a good putter at Quail Hollow before. So I didn't see that one coming. But as we come in
they've
here.
They changed it a lot.
They have.
Though.
That's
and
it.
Different grassing on the greens.
Yes. I think they're basically different greens now.
Yeah.
They're not the greens that he played on.
I do wonder if there was a little bit of a shutdown element there mentally, because at least if you're a strokes gain.
Yes,
believer,
that's right.
Ball striking wise, it was his best week of the year.
I do believe I am a stroke game believer. I am.
Still hit some quackers there, but the putting was atrocious.
And, it was the worst performance he's had on tour this season, so putting wise.
He seems like now these greens have changed a lot here too, and they're different grasses and different things have happened over the years, and they'll next year they'll be different because they'll be overseeded. But he is coming back to a place where he has mostly good memories, few horrific ones
keep
of
talking
WDing and that
please,
kind of thing.
Whatever. But keep talking
But obviously the better than most moment, the U.S. Amateur, and
the back to back dubs.
Yeah. So
let me ask you this: we touched on this earlier. You talked about this being a venue now that takes driver out of people's hands.
Mm.
And here's what I'm interested
in.
Because now we're starting to think about, at least I am, how's the U.S. Open at Shinnecock shaping up? Is what's that setup going to be like? I'm anticipating a venue that takes driver out of folks' hands. We're looking for a stinger. We're looking for a bullet. We're looking for a fairway finder. That's my early sense of what Shinnecock's going to be all about. I like this event this week as a referendum on whether Eldrick Tiger Woods is prepared to try and conquer a venue with that style of play. What do you think?
I agree completely. Oh. And I hope we get a little bit of wind so he's really forced to play the stinger.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably the number one question most people ask. If you're at the market and you start talking golf, it always, you talk Tiger and it invariably comes back to, why doesn't he just hit the stinger off every tee? And it's a complicated issue. I think he gets such a boost from distance and
it's a confidence builder, clearly, right?
But how much confidence can you get when they start going all over the place? And he is, when he's on with his irons, he's incredible. And why he doesn't want to be in the fairway more, I don't know. It sounds like, from what I'm hearing at Shinnecock, the narrowing they did last fall, the last-minute narrowing, will prompt that. And the rough immediately off the fairways is pretty nasty. So
no first cut, huh?
No. Well, there's an intermediate cut before you get to the natives.
Yeah.
And that sod, that new sod, is really tough stuff. So hopefully, yes, there will be wind. And it will be a golf course that there are already several holes that aren't driver, even when it was widened out.
Sure.
So, so this week should be a good referendum on that. And other than that, though, it's more about just kind of seeing how his overall game is. And I would say the same for Mickelson. I mean, this U.S. Open is going to be, to the golf fan, more about Phil than Tiger, because he played so well at Shinnecock.
And they're going to beat us over the head, you know, in the run-up in the week before, two weeks before.
I'll be guilty of that myself.
Well, I want you to do it. That's right.
We're working on a feature at Golf Channel on the brouhaha and the debacle of the course setup last time. And Phil, you know, Phil, when he looks back at the U.S. Opens that he was cost, that one is the one where the setup probably killed him more. He didn't do anything wrong.
He didn't hit a bad shot. He didn't hit a bad shot.
And he lost by two, and there was a moment where it cost him two shots, and that's the one where I know he it's got to be a hard one to think about. So it's going to come up a lot as we get back there. And
yes.
He's actually scheduled to give us a press conference on Tuesday of this week, which when most of you will now already listen to it. By
maybe.
The time.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see if he doesn't like to do those much these days. So we'll see. But so I think going that might be good for Tiger is my point, that there is going to be so much focus on Phil going into Shinnecock. But the good news is we have a lot of different interesting storylines in golf. We were discussing earlier before the show, I was looking at the 95 Shinnecock program and who the stars were in the game, and nothing against those people. But when you look at some of the players they were highlighting as the marquee names coming into the U.S. Open at Shinnecock Hills versus the wealth of riches we have now, it's definitely a more intriguing
different
sport.
Different era in golf. Maybe a little different.
Yeah, I mean, they're guys that I love and grew up worshiping and all that, but you just say, wow, when he came along and then Phil came along and the what those guys have brought to the game is just different. So
all right, well, let's get serious. I love this storyline that we have not yet touched on.
Okay.
And again, it was brought to my attention by our brother Justin Ray.
Well, you're just working
week,
his Twitter account today.
Well, just because you go on here and it's like a couple nuggets, right?
Nuggets.
This is a nugget that I love. This week, I don't know if you're aware of this, 5 different potential number one players depending on the finish at the Players.
I am not aware of that. You know, I'm not a big world ranking
follower.
But
sure.
Yeah, no, that speaks to a lot of
different
things.
It matters to the guys. The guys want to be number one at some point.
If they get a bonus, yeah.
Well, I mean, although you can always say, was I ever number one?
And Jason Day has taken that very seriously. I mean,
sure.
He was actually, I think there was a bit of an ego blow when he lost it. He admitted that it meant a lot to him to get to that point. I think there are other people who look back on it and go, great, but how many majors did you win? But there is a financial element now, too, for these guys to reach that point.
That's fine.
So,
I'm fine with that.
So who are the 5, if you don't mind?
This is what I'm giving out, because I want to see. I'm going to name these names, then I want to see if you've got a feeling about it. Justin Thomas is one, and Dustin Johnson's obviously another one. Spieth is not that surprising. Jordan Spieth. John Rahm has been sort of hovering in that top 5.
Wait a second. Jordan Spieth has a chance to get to number one this week?
I guess if he wins. I don't know how the math works. But this is the most surprising one to me. Justin Rose has a chance to be number one in the world if he wins this golf tournament this week. And I don't know if the other guys have to finish out of top 5 or top 10 for him to get all the way up.
Yeah,
but the math is there for Brother Rose to be number one in the world.
Huh. That's fascinating.
So I just said 5 names. Are any one of those names jumping off the page at you as a serious contender for this week's Players Championship?
Spieth would be the one that I'm most intrigued by, because I feel like this is a golf course, the way he has made himself into one of the best iron players in the game, that he should thrive out here. And you don't need that overwhelming power here. And he should love the shots into these holes. But as we discussed earlier, Pete Dye creates a sense of awkwardness that some people never overcome. Some people love Pete Dye golf courses and enjoy and embrace the quirk and the look. I don't know where Spieth stands on that. In fact, I think maybe I just got my press conference question.
What are you talking about? And how about this? Let me remind you.
He'll actually, that's a topic I think he actually would be, he would enjoy.
He'd give you some feedback.
I think he likes Austin Country Club, where the match play is played. I can't say overwhelmingly, but it's something I guarantee you he's given thought to.
Well, in view of his history here at this joint, you have this in front of you?
I do not.
2017, missed the cut.
Yeah.
2016, he missed the cut.
But
2015, he missed the cut.
2014.
Tie for 4th.
Yeah, and he had a great chance to win.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. So again,
but that's where this golf course is just so bizarre.
That's it. That's
it's
this
so
joint.
Bizarre.
You're either at the very, very top or you're going home on Friday.
Yeah. Well, what else is there to discuss in the world of golf?
I mean, I just would love to try and come up with a name or two to give out to all of our listeners.
I was trying to change the subject.
I know. I'm going to give one name. I'm going to give Frankie Molinari at 60-1.
Okay.
I'm not recommending anybody allocate any capital on the Players Championship this week, because I just have an impossible time coming up with a name. But yeah. I like, you know, he's been in decent form. I played him a couple times. I played him in the Masters, as a matter of fact, and I played him in a make the cut bet, I think, that worked out for me. He's another guy that's pretty consistent across the board in terms of tied 6 last year, tied 7 the year before, didn't play in 16, and tied 6 in 14. So maybe he's a nice top 10 play, you know, put a little mm-hmm. cash on a top 10 yeah. for Frankie Molinari. But that's about as far as I'm willing to go.
Yeah, this is a week where you had some fun prop bets. Just looking at some of the winning scores, how many times 13 under has won. You know, just be more fun to bet some over-unders on those things.
Yeah, I like that.
Just a little more intriguing to come up with water balls on 17 or aces.
Good week for props.
It really is. And unfortunately, we're just not quite there at the golf props being what they should be.
Yeah, they're not all cooked up because we're recording this on a Monday. There'll be some on Wednesday. Maybe I'll put out a little Twitter. I like to give out a little bit of juice to give us something exciting to watch. There's some tournament props that are out early yet. Will there be a playoff? Will there be a hole-in-one? Will the winner play in the final pairing? But those are kind of boring.
Oh, yeah, there are some interesting stats on that if you poke around on pairings related. But all in all, it's not too thrilling.
I'm going to put something on. Will the winner play in the final pairing in the final round? That no is plus odds. That's a plus 145. So for your $100, you get back 145. I'm going to bet no on that one. I like that one. I like the guy. I like that Ricky sneaking from way back angle. I don't think Siwoo was in the final group last year, was he?
I believe he was.
Okay, well. That's fine. I'm still button no.
It was all, I've forgotten a lot about that
week. you forgot Poulter about the memorable Siwoo?
Well, Poulter was amazing last year. He was in such fine form. He was so, when he's on, he's so much fun.
Yeah.
And he
saved bogey from a shank. So
that's
the Ian Poulter experience.
All right. Anything else you want to cover? I mean, Augusta National's begun work on the fifth hole. Patrick Reed's win was equated with Donald Trump winning the presidency by Ricky Fowler. No, none of those. You don't want to
those are things that I don't want to talk about.
Don't want to get near those. Let's see. What else? Shinnecock, we're going to get all over that soon. The schedule revamp will not be released this week in hopes of saving the Houston Open. So we don't need to.
Best of luck.
Need to sit back and wait and see, and hopefully they can do that, and then some other pieces will fall into place. It should be otherwise, though, a sensational players' week.
A great week. The weather looks awesome. I know we spied a little rain possibly on Sunday, but that's so far out yet.
Yeah, so the Thursday and Friday should be fun. Obviously, Golf Channel will be on, I believe, I want to say it's 11 Eastern time. But so this would be a good week for people to If you're really into PGA Tour Live, you can now get as part of that ESPN Plus package.
Okay.
So if you want to see Tiger and Phil and then the Spieth Thomas McIlroy pairing, this is going to be a good week to get those. And maybe that's why they got the announcement out in advance. But anyway, so that's now available as part of that ESPN deal, which that's the best way to get PGA Tour Live.
That was a very nice thing that you just did for them. They should pay us for that.
They should. Just don't want to. I'm trying to cut down on the number of emails saying, why can't I watch Tiger and Phil on the Golf Channel?
Good point.
Well, there is another option, and it's now part of ESPN Plus, which is what, $5 a month or something?
Sure, sure.
I'm not a cord cutter, so you know, I love my cable TV package.
You know me.
I'm like Simmons. I just like to flip
TVs. I'm a TV nut job.
The cord cutting is beyond us, but anyway, I know what we need to talk about.
What's that?
That jailbreak technology that I put on display out on the TPC Sawgrass Valley course.
Yeah, you did get a little Pro Tracer.
I really didn't.
Love.
Nothing I did with those rogue fairway woods would make anybody want to buy them, which is why nobody should ever go by seeing me hit these shots when these do end up online. Know what I was going to say, House? It's really fun to go on to CallawayGolf.com now that Chris Filardo and the team have redesigned it.
Oh, we're giving shout-outs to Filardo.
They've made it much easier to play around and script out a club, design a club the way you want.
Yeah.
It was easy before.
Yeah.
It's even easier now. So go to CallawayGolf.com. And even if you're just bored and you want to play around with different clubs, see the pricing, the specs, change some colors, personalize.
Get some shaft in there.
You can go over and personalize some chrome softs too. But
nice.
Anyway, CallawayGolf.com. Newly redesigned, looks absolutely sensational. And there's all sorts of great content there as well. It's links to Callaway Live and all that good stuff.
All right.
And who do you got coming up on House of Carbs? Or is that a sensitive question?
No,
that you
it's
don't
not sensitive.
Reveal?
We're having GQ food critic and editor Brett Martin is coming on. He's done his top 10 restaurants, the best restaurants in America at the moment.
Good.
18 months of hard work into it, recording that. And of course, you can also still give a listen to Trey Zeller from Jefferson's Bourbon. That's a really fun, little bit off the beaten path kind of show that's up right now. And Brett Martin will be up in a couple days. So check out the House of Carbs.
Beautiful. Well, we are coming to you from the TPC Valley course in a beautiful Ford automobile. I'm looking forward to a great players, especially because we're going to have weather. We've got a great field, and we will come back and talk to you very shortly. Plus, we have an exciting guest we can't quite reveal yet next week.
It's going to be a good one.
You excited about the Byron Nelson Classic, the AT&T Byron Nelson at a big, brand new, and possibly very controversial golf course.
I don't know about the controversy. We'll talk about it.
Yeah,
but we'll have a good champion to talk about because the players always gives out a good champion. We'll have that to talk about at the end of next week. But until then, please check out this week's Sugars, part of the Ringer Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.